Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:39 p.m. Today is August 28th. And today we had another interesting day, not least in terms of what's happening in the commodity markets, where you had gold pulling back by about $10. But it was a small downside key reversal. If we were to see downside follow through tomorrow, it would help to confirm resistance in the region of the progression of lower rally highs. If we look at the daily chart, it's quite obvious that there is a rivetingly consistent progression of lower rally highs, and we did have something of a downward acceleration at the beginning, or at least let's say in the second week of August, and we've had an impressive rebound since then. But the big question for gold that has yet to be answered is whether it can sustain this move above $1,200. Can it break that short-term progression of lower rally highs? What we can also look at is the weekly chart. We can see clearly on the weekly chart that there has been a pretty pronounced decline, rather similar in terms of magnitude to that which we saw at in the second half of 2016. And we are in the region of the lows posted back in 2016, although slightly above them. But the progression of lower rally highs off those lows at the end of 2016 has been broken. Until we saw that the price was unable to sustain the move above the trend mean back in April, it was still reasonable to talk about a rounding characteristic to this range that's been in evidence since the middle of 2013. But that's no longer the case. What it does suggest is that gold is going to be range-bound and messy for a while longer. Now, when you have such a wide overextension relative to the trend mean, there is obviously the potential for a rally to close it. But by the same token, prices could simply range and allow that moving average to catch up as it comes back down. So this is a rather important juncture where demand will need to be reasserted in order to really demonstrate that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. And it's a pretty similar story for the other precious metals, where silver was reacting from the $15 level in here today. That is another outside day, and in a reasonably dynamic manner. So far, the rally that we've seen in silver has been pretty modest, and it has still got this succession of lower rally highs and ranges one below another. When you have that staircase step sequence downtrend, then it's going to require a meaningful rally to break it, and so far we haven't seen that. And it's pretty similar with platinum, where it is hovering around this $800 level, but $800 represents the lower side of that overhead trading range. It's also a pretty consistent downtrend. It did accelerate downwards and it became quite overextended in the second week of August, but so far the rally hasn't been particularly convincing. But platinum prices are right in the region of the lows from back in 2008. This is an area where we might anticipate support being found, but there isn't a great deal of evidence to suggest that that is the case right now. The best thing that we can say about it is that there is approximately $100 overextension relative to the trend mean, but there isn't a great deal of evidence to support the view that it's about to be unwound with a very sharp rally. There has been an absence of clear upward dynamics. The precious metal that has had the most impressive bounce is palladium. It has unwound its oversold condition relative to the trend mean and did so in pretty smart order. But there's still the progression of lower rally highs. The trend mean has begun to turn down. It is now testing the region of the trend mean. This is where it needs to continue to demonstrate that there is a demand-dominated environment if the support building hypothesis is to be given the benefit of the doubt. The big reaction that we've seen, particularly following what had been such an impressive advance all the way from the beginning of 2016 to the beginning of 2018, is over. Now the question is whether this reaction that we've seen so far has ended, or whether we're going to move into a much more lengthy, rangy, messy phase. So it really is all to play for with these precious metals. And Wall Street today was a little bit mixed. It wasn't quite able to hold all of the advance, but so far nothing in the way of downward dynamics. There were news stories and about Apple suppliers that They are seeing inventory build, which would suggest that we don't have quite the same demand for Apple products that has helped to drive it higher, but it was in positive territory again in here today. If we continue to look at some of those FANG shares, then Amazon continues to push on, and it is coming up towards this $2,000 level. It's got a market cap now of $942 billion. So there is the realistic possibility that Amazon could be joining the trillion-dollar club before too long. Then Google, which had been ranging or has been ranging above $1,200, continues to do so. There is still a lot of questions to be asked, or answered, I should say, with Tesla. It was down a little bit in here today, but it continues to hold this $300 level. Obviously, there's been a great deal of volatility over the last few weeks, not least with the well, almost, I think it's not an exaggeration to say fraudulent speculation that there was going to be a take private bid for the company. So that has damaged sentiment. And when you've got the CEO weeping on live camera, that's not great for sentiment either. I think what that suggests is that the ranks of the bear the sellers are probably gathering once more. But there was news today that Tesla is probably hitting its production targets, and at least that is a sign that they may be losing money on every car, but at least they are producing them. Now, when I did my click through of markets this morning, a number of charts really stood out to me. If I stay for a moment with the USA, then the diversified financials have been largely range bound, but they are firming within that range, and it is looking increasingly likely that that 700 point level is going to be resolved, or at least that we're going to see the range resolved on the upside. The Italian market remains under pressure, and the MIB was down 177 points. This again, I don't think I can be any clearer, does not look like a bullish chart. The best you can say about it is that it is somewhat overextended relative to the trend mean, but we have had a significant deterioration, and it has the hallmarks of a downtrend. Then on the other side of the equation, the Finnish market is on the cusp of breaking upwards and remains in a reasonably consistent advance generally. Somewhere in the middle, you have the German DAX, which is starting to firm from the lower side of what's been a year-long range, but hasn't quite been able to push back above the trend mean and break the progression of lower rally highs evident since the beginning of this year just yet. Then, when you look at what's going on in Sweden, the market has rallied and is coming back up towards the upper side of its range. The Swedish krona also remains quite weak, so that is also helping to flatter the stock market somewhat. Well, one thing that we've seen in Germany and we've seen in Sweden has been the rise of the alt-right. And there, even for a country like Sweden, which is noted for its peaceful environment and the dominance of a social democratic way of thinking about things, you're starting to see nationalism rearing its head, and that represents a risk right across Europe. I don't think that this is well, I've said on a number of occasions, I think this is a trend. These are not isolated incidences. These are all symptomatic of a revolt against the status quo and the growing skepticism about globalization. But when we look at what's going on in Asia, then we have seen that there has been a pullback, and now we're starting to see some rebounds from that pullback. So, for example, the Philippines is right in the region of the trend mean. It has been subject to occasional bouts of volatility on almost every year, well, at least 4 of the last 6 years, and it is rebounding from the most recent one. It would need to demonstrate resistance in this area to really question potential for additional upside. Then, if we look at Malaysia, the Kuala Lumpur Composite is back above the trend mean. It's been ranging now for 4 years and has rebounded pretty impressively. Then if you look at what's going on in Indonesia, then the index has just about been able to push back above the trend mean. Now, I've been highlighting Thailand on a number of the most recent broadcasts, and the index there is also back above the trend mean. But what you have in Thailand that you don't have in Indonesia is that the currency has been strengthening, the Indonesian rupee, rupiah, excuse me, by extension has not been rallying and is right in the region of the lows that we saw back in 2015. Then, when we look at what's going on in India, it is a really wonderful example of the fact that you buy companies, not countries. And the rupee has so far failed to rally, and it is sustaining the breakdown to new lows, but it isn't accelerating lower. But Reliance Industries, on the other hand, is accelerating higher. And they own the 4G network, and the reality is that India is on the cusp or is engaged in a digital revolution that is, I think, at least on par with what we saw in China over the course of the last 5 or 6 years. So, while, for example, Alibaba is getting to a point where the incremental cost of growth is getting progressively higher, the incremental cost of growth in India is still reasonably low because the market has got so much scope in which to grow. Then there is the additional prospect that India's population is very young relative to China's population, which is aging rather rapidly. That suggests that the digital dividend that can be accrued from the digitization of the economy in India is considerably larger than that in China and is coming from a much lower base. So, therefore, the potential is that India is likely to outperform China by a significant margin for the foreseeable future. And there is, of course, one additional point, and it is that the vast majority of Indian companies are listed in India. And that is not the case in China, where all of its primary technology companies decamped to the USA or Hong Kong for listing. The A-share index is continues to be dominated by the banking sector, and so far it has been steadying, but it hasn't really been able to put in clear upward dynamics to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. When we look at the banking sector, then it has been able to hold a progression of higher reaction lows, and it is unwinding the oversold condition relative to the trend mean. But when, for example, we look at some of the smaller banks, that perhaps if we look at the mainland listings, we might get a better understanding of exactly how they're being priced. Minsheng Bank, for example, is a private sector lender, and then when we think about the fact that what's been going on in the Chinese banking sector over the course of the last few years is that there have been waves of regulation. And 3 or 4 years ago, what happened was the authorities were worried about the surge in lending to the property sector. So they went in and they started cutting off sources of credit to the mid-size and regional banks. So what those banks did in order to get access to credit was they started issuing US dollar-denominated debt. And over the course of the last 3 years, they issued approximately $450 billion worth of debt. About 2 months ago, the government completely cut out or outlawed US dollar debt issuance. But they have been clamping down on the shadow banking sector for much of the well, really since the beginning of January. And it is that clamping down on shadow banking that has represented the downtrend that we've seen in prices. So what have the smaller banks been able to do? They need to accrue deposits because it's versus their deposits that they can increase their liabilities. So in order to attract deposits, they have been coming up with structured products. These are exactly the same kinds of structured products that we've seen in places like Italy or indeed in the USA ahead of the crash in 2007 and 2008. and they've been enormously successful in selling these kinds of structures, where you are buying a structure that will give you a certain interest rate and protection against losing your principal, for example, in the event that Hong Kong doesn't break its peg, or that gold prices don't fall below $375 or above $220. These are rather unlikely events, but in the event that they do in fact occur, the holder of the note would lose their money. But there is also, of course, the possibility that the fact that these banks are writing the options on which the structures are being placed leaves them on the hook for unlimited liability in the event that any of these kinds of actions happen. And we have to at least consider the potential that these unlikely events can happen, considering the history of the last 10 years. So that is one of the points that is weighing on the Chinese banking sector. And I think that is something that is that's a point that is not likely to be solved anytime soon. Well, the fact that the Chinese banking sector is still under pressure and struggling to find a low is weighing on the commodity complex generally. And copper prices have been rather unimpressive on the upside. That it took approximately 8 sessions to unwind the big Dahmer dynamic that we saw in the second week of August. And now it's coming back to test the progression of lower rally highs. So this is about where, if we're going to see an additional rally, well, then it will be able to push on from here. But if this is still a downtrend, well, it'll fail in this level in this region. And the Baltic Dry Index is pulling back from the upper side of its range. It also has this very clear rounding characteristic evidence since the end of 2013. But so far, it has not been able to push through the 2000 level just yet. And that's, I think, rather important. There is a lot of dynamics going on in terms of shipping because of the new rules on IMO 2020 with regard to both the kinds of fuels that ships can use, and also the ballast water and where how they can discharge it. These are all major factors that are affecting the shipping sector right now. When we look at what's going on with the dollar, well, the euro was not quite able to hold its advance in here today. Now, it has unwound a lot of its oversold condition already, and now it's coming back to test the region of the trend mean and the progression of lower rally highs. Well, this is the first area of potential resistance now for the euro's rally, and some questions are beginning to be asked. Well, the most acute of those is what's the outlook for Europe? Well, Europe remains, I think, susceptible to any weakness in China, but also to weakness in the Turkish lira. And the lira, having staged a rather impressive rebound from 7 to 6, was weaker again in here today. One of the reasons that Turkey has been out of the news is because there has been lots of commentary about Mexico and indeed about Brazil, but nothing has really changed there. They haven't introduced any particular set of reforms that are going to act as remedial to the Turkish economy, but they do have a lot of leverage. Turkey is a very strategically placed country, and they are also holding back millions of refugees from Europe. That's part of the reason why Germany is looking at lending some support to Turkey and volunteering to do so, rather than the rather reluctant way that they were willing to give support to Greece. Now, when we do look at what's going on in Brazil, well, we have this rather acute political uncertainty, and that is weighing on the real. Then you have the peso, and in Mexico, and it was weaker in here today. Now, the peso rallied rather impressively all the way from the middle of this year. And that was out of character with the action that we saw in lots of other markets. And I think that that was reflecting some enthusiasm that there would be a deal with regard to its relationship with the USA. But now that the deal has gone through, and it doesn't mean that there's been a great deal of change to that relationship, then that throws the focus back onto the outlook for Mexico. And the reality is that the dollar has had this progression of higher reaction lows since the middle of last year, and we're starting to see the dollar firming again. So I think that Mexico is not going to remain immune from selling pressure that we've seen in other emerging markets. And when we look at the Argentine stock market index, it has lost uptrend consistency, having done so impressively all the way through 2017. It was capped with a large downside key, and it really hasn't rallied since. So the fact is that the Argentine peso remains under pressure, and this continues to represent a troubled area. So with all of the major currencies in Latin America not looking particularly firm, then the Latin America dollar index is trending lower, having encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean and the lower side of that overhead trading range. Well, I think when we think about then the potential for rebounds in emerging markets, then the vast majority of those that have got capacity to rally are in Asia, and most particularly in the ASEAN region. Well, that's something that is not likely to be reflected in the emerging markets index, because the emerging markets are so heavily weighted by China and by Brazil. So the MSCI Emerging Markets has bounced, and it is continuing to unwind its oversold condition relative to the trend mean, but it hasn't quite yet broken the progression of lower rally highs. And by the time it gets back up towards that trend mean, it'll be in the region of the most recent one of those. It really does need to do better than that. It needs to push above 1100 points to really demonstrate that we've seen a low of more than short-term significance. And if we look at what's going on with Tencent, Tencent is a significant weighting within the emerging markets index, and it is now pressuring the progression of lower rally highs, and it is approximating the region of the trend mean. So, again, this is an area where we really do need to see demand starting to come through, and most particularly, we need higher reaction lows to demonstrate that demand is willing to come back in at progressively higher levels. And so far, we just haven't seen that. Well, when we then go back and look at what's going on the Nasdaq or on Wall Street, the absence of volatility and the fact that these indices have been able to continue to hold breakouts, and that we continue to see the relative strength that on Wall Street, that's enormously attractive from the perspective of international investors, and that's also likely to act as a tailwind for a rebound in emerging markets where you don't have these massive questions underlying about the status of governance. Well, with the relative strength that we're seeing on Wall Street, Treasury yields were a little bit steadier in here today. They have bounced now from that 2.8% level, and the likelihood is that we're going to see a run back up towards 3%. And I think the very biggest question that people will be asking is, will the Fed continue to raise rates after September? Everybody now knows about the predictive power of the yield curve, and they've already been discussing it in the Fed's minutes. So that tells us that they do know that it is a lead indicator, and then the question is whether they're going to how much weight they're likely to give it. If the Federal Reserve stops raising interest rates, then that greatly increases the potential that we're going to have an acceleration higher before they are forced to really start raising rates again in an effort to curb enthusiasm. Well, that's a potential outcome, But of course, we need to keep an eye on are the lead indicators for potential trouble. But right now, there's none of them are flashing any real sign that this expansion is indeed over. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.